Well, here we are, Wednesday evening already, March the 27th. We're going to get into the Word, and we're going to pick up in Scripture where Jesus had just been arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. They bound him up, and they're leading him out. Now, before we get into these studies, let me tell you that I'm doing this in a chronological order. Not only am I doing it chronologically, I'm going to be harmonizing the Gospels as we go, meaning I'm going to look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke's account, and also John's account where he speaks. So you will know why am I going from one book to the other book to the other book to speak about the same instances. That's what I'm doing. I'm harmonizing these Gospels so you will see each Gospel's account of the same account as we go through it in a chronological order. So without further ado, let's get started. And I'm going to jump right into John chapter 18, starting with verse 12. So the soldiers, their commanding officer, and the temple guards arrested Jesus and tied him up. First, they took him to Annas, since he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest at that time. And Caiaphas was the one who had told other Jewish leaders, it's better that one man should die for the people. So now we find that Jesus is taken first to Annas, the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest. John 18:13 and 14. We'll start with verse 12. So the soldiers, their commanding officer, and the temple guards arrested Jesus and tied him up. First they took him to Annas, since he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest at the time. Caiaphas was the one who had told the other Jewish leaders, it is better that one man should die for the people. Matthew chapter 26, 57 through 67. Then the people who arrested Jesus led him to the home of Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the religious law and elders had gathered. Meanwhile, Peter followed him at a distance and came to the high priest's courtyard. He went in and sat with the guards and waited to see how it would all end. Inside, the leading priests and the entire high council were trying to find witnesses who would lie about Jesus so they could put him to death. But even though they found many who agreed to give false witnesses, they could not use anyone's testimony. Finally, two men came forward who declared, this man said, I am able to destroy this temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days. Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, well, aren't you going to answer these charges? What do you have to say for yourself? But Jesus remained silent. Then the high priest said to him, I demand in the name of the living God, tell us, if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. Jesus replied, you have said it, and in the future you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothing to show this horror and said, blasphemy. Why do we need other witnesses? You have all heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict? Guilty, they shouted. He deserves to die. Then they began to spit in Jesus' face and beat him with their fists. And some slapped him, jeering, prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who hit you that time? Mark's account, Mark 14:53 through 64. They took Jesus to the high priest's home where the leading priests, the elders, and the teachers of the religious law had gathered. Meanwhile, Peter followed him at a distance and went right into the high priest's courtyard. There he sat with the guards, warming himself by their fire. Inside, the leading priests and the entire high council were trying to find evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death. But they couldn't find anything. Many false witnesses spoke against him, but they contradicted each other. So finally, some men stood up and gave this false testimony. We heard him say that I will destroy this temple made with human hands, and in 3 days I will build another made without human hands. But even then, they didn't agree with their stories. Then the high priest stood up before the others and asked Jesus, well, aren't you going to answer these charges? What do you have to say about yourself? But Jesus was silent, made no reply. Then the high priest asked, Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? Jesus said, I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothing to show this horror and said, what do we need other witnesses? You have all heard that his blasphemy. What is your verdict? Guilty, they cried. He deserves to die. Next we find where Peter denies Jesus twice before the maid during his inquisition. Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 72. Matthew 26, 69 through 72. Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside the courtyard. A servant girl came over and said to him, you were one of those with Jesus the Galilean. But Peter denied it in front of everyone. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Later, out the gate, another servant girl noticed him and said to those standing around him, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. Again, Peter denied it, and this time with an oath. I don't even know the man, he said. Mark 14, 66 through 7a. Mark 14, 66 through 7a. Meanwhile, Peter was in the courtyard below. And one of the servant girls who worked for the high priest came by and noticed Peter warming himself at the fire. She looked at him closely and said, you were one of those with Jesus of Nazareth. But Peter denied it. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. And he went out of the entryway. Just then, a rooster crowed. And when the servant girl saw him standing there, she began telling the others, this man is definitely one of them, but Peter denied it again. And a little later, some of the other bystanders confronting Peter said, you must be one of them because you are Galilean. Luke 22, 55 through 58. The guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it. And Peter joined them there. A servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. Finally, she said, this man was one of Jesus' followers. But Peter denied it. Woman, he said, I don't even know him. And after a while, someone else looked at him and said, you must be one of them. No man, I'm not, Peter retorted. So John's account of Peter's denials, his first and his second, Simon Peter, I'm looking at John 18, verse 15. I'm going to start reading there. Simon Peter followed Jesus, as did the other disciples. That other disciple was acquainted with the high priest, so he was allowed to enter into the priest's courtyard with Jesus, and Peter had to stay outside the gate. Then the disciple who knew the high priest spoke with the woman watching the gate, and she let Peter in. The woman asked Peter, you're not one of that man's disciples, are you? No, he said, I'm not, because it was cold, and the household servants of the guards had made coal fire, and they stood around it warming themselves, and Peter stood with him. And inside, the high priest began asking Jesus about his followers and what he had been teaching them. Jesus replied, everyone knows what I teach. I have preached regularly in the synagogues and the temple where the people gather, and I have not spoken in secret. Why are you asking me this question? Ask those who heard me. They know what I said. Then one of the temple guards standing nearby slapped Jesus across the face. Is that the way to answer the high priest? He demanded. Jesus replied, if I said anything wrong, you must prove it. But if I'm speaking the truth, why are you beating me? Then Annas bound Jesus and sent him to Caiaphas, the high priest. So meanwhile, as Simon Peter was standing by the fire warming himself, they asked him again, you're not one of his disciples, are you? He denied it again. No, I am not. That's a second denial. So those verses we had read prior of 19 through 23, that was Caiaphas while he was interrogating Jesus while Peter is confronted in the outer courtyard. So now we're going to look at where Peter denies Jesus one more time before the guards, and immediately the cock crows. Again, back to Matthew chapter 26. Verses 73 through 75. Matthew 26, verses 73 through 75. A little later, some of the other bystanders came over to Peter and said, you must be one of them. We can tell by your Galilean accent. Peter swore, a curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know the man. And immediately the rooster crowed. Suddenly, Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times that you even know me. And he went away, wept bitterly. Mark 14:70b through 72. A little later, some of the other bystanders confronted Peter and said, "You must be one of them because you are a Galilean." Peter swore, "A curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know this man you're talking about." And immediately the rooster crowed. Suddenly, Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny 3 times that you even know me. And he broke down and wept. Luke 59 through 62. About an hour later, someone else insisted, "This must be one of them, because he's a Galilean too." But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly, the words flashed through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me 3 times that you even know me." Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. John 18:26-27. John 18:26-27. But one of the household slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Didn't I see you out there in the olive grove with Jesus?" Again, Peter denied it, and immediately a rooster crowed. Matthew 26:67-68. Then they began to spit in Jesus' face and beat him with their fists. And some slapped him, jeering, "Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who hit you that time?" Mark 14:65. Then some of them began to spit at him. They blindfolded him and beat him with their fists. "Prophesy to us," they jeered. And the guards slapped him as they took him away. Luke 22:63-65. Luke 22:63-65. The guards in charge of Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him and said, "Prophesy to us. Who hit you that time?" And they hurled all sorts of terrible insults at him. Next, we find where Jesus is brought before the Sanhedrin in the hall of the hewn stones of the Temple Mount. This is about a stone's cast from Pilate's judgment hall. In the early morning hours before dawn is where we find Jesus now. Matthew 27:1. Very early in the morning, the leading priests and the elders of the people meet again to lay plans for putting Jesus to death. Mark 15:1. Very early in the morning, the leading priests and the elders and the teachers of the religious law and the entire council meet to discuss their next step. Luke 22:66-71. Luke 22:66-71. At daybreak, all the elders of the people assembled, including the leading priests and the teachers of the religious law. Jesus was led before this high council, and they said, "Tell us you are the Messiah." But he replied, "If I tell you, you won't believe me. And if I ask you a question, you won't answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated in the palace of the power of God's right hand." They all shouted, "So are you claiming to be the Son of God?" He said, "You say that I am. Why do we need other witnesses?" they said. "We ourselves heard him say it." Jesus is bound and brought into Pilate's praetorium, which is a judgment hall, before sunset that morning. Matthew 27:2. Then they bound him, led him away, and took him to Pilate, the Roman governor. Mark 15:1b. They bound Jesus, and led him away, and took him to Pilate, the Roman governor. Luke 23:1-2. Then the entire council took Jesus to Pilate, the Roman governor. They began to state their case. "This man has been leading our people astray by telling them not to pay their taxes to the Roman government and by claiming he is Messiah, the King." John 18:28-32. Jesus' trial before Caiaphas ended in the early hours of the morning. Then he was taken to the headquarters of the Roman governor. His accusers didn't go inside because it would defile them, and they wouldn't be allowed to celebrate the Passover. So Pilate, the governor, went out to them and asked, "What's your charge against this man? We wouldn't have handed him over to you if he weren't a criminal," they retorted. "Then take him away and judge him by your own laws," Pilate told them. "Only the Romans are permitted to execute someone," the Jewish leaders replied. This fulfilled Jesus' prediction about the way he would die. Now, Pilate returns to the praetorium to question Jesus about being the king of the Jews. Matthew 27:11. Now, Jesus was standing before Pilate, the Roman governor. "Are you the king of the Jews?" the governor asked him. Jesus replied, "You have said it." Mark 15:2. Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "You have said it." Luke 23:3. So Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "You have said it." So all the Gospels there, the Synoptic Gospels, say this exact same wording. Now let's look at John's account. John 18:33-38a. Then Pilate went back into his headquarters and called for Jesus to be brought to him. "Are you the king of Jews?" he asked. Jesus replied, "Is this your own question, or did others tell you about me?" "I am a Jew," Pilate retorted. "Your own people and their leading priests brought you to me for trial. Why? What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world." Pilate said, "So you are a king?" Jesus responded, "You say I am a king. Actually, I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. All who love the truth recognize what I say is true." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. Then he went out again to the people and told them, "He is not guilty of any crime." Luke 23:4. Pilate turned to the leading priest and to the crowd and said, "I find nothing wrong with this man." Now we're going to look at where Pilate sends Jesus and his accusers to Herod for judgment. And then we're going to find where Jesus is presented before Herod in his palace, but Jesus refuses to acknowledge the king. Herod hears the accusations of the chief priests and the scribes. Herod mocks King Jesus by clothing him in royal robe. Herod returns Jesus to Pilate after he is unable to elicit a response from him. And then Pilate and Herod give a united verdict. And this is Pilate's second, not guilty. And we're going to pick up reading in Luke. Luke's account is the only one who speaks of this. Luke 23:5-15. Luke 23:5-15. Then they became insistent, "But he is causing riots by his teaching wherever he goes, all over Judea and from Galilee to Jerusalem." "Oh, is he a Galilean?" Pilate asked. When they said that he was, Pilate sent him to Herod Antipas, because Galilee was under Herod's jurisdiction, and Herod happened to be in Jerusalem at the time. Herod was delighted at the opportunity to see Jesus because he had heard about him and had been hoping for a long time to see him perform a miracle. He asked Jesus question after question, but Jesus refused to answer. Meanwhile, the leading priests and the teachers of the religious law stood there shouting their accusations. Then Herod and his soldiers began mocking and ridiculing Jesus. Finally, they put a royal robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate, who had been enemies before, became friends that day. Then Pilate called together the leading priest and other religious leaders along with the people, and he announced his verdict. "You brought this man to me, accusing him of leading a revolt. I have examined him thoroughly on this point in your presence and find him innocent." King Herod came to the same conclusion and send him back to us. Nothing this man has done calls for the death penalty. Now, more accusations are levied in front of Pilate and Herod. Jesus refuses to respond. Let's look at Matthew 27, 12 through 14. Matthew 27, 12 through 14. But when the leading priests and elders made their accusations against him, Jesus remained silent. Don't you hear all of these charges that they're bringing against you? Pilate demanded. But Jesus made no response to any of the charges, much to the governor's surprise. In Mark chapter 15, 3-5, we find the exact wording that Matthew has used. So now we find where Pilate offers a grim choice for the annual Passover prisoner to be released. And he asks him, say, you want Jesus or the notorious murderer, Barabbas? Let's look at Matthew 27, 15 through 26a. Matthew 27, 15 through 26a. Now, it was governor's custom each year during Passover celebration to release one prisoner to the crowd, anyone they wanted. This year, there was a notorious prisoner, a man named Barabbas. And as the crowds gathered before Pilate's house that morning, he asked them, which one of you want me to release to you Barabbas, or Jesus, who is called the Messiah? He knew very well that all the religious leaders had arrested Jesus out of envy. Just then, as Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message saying, leave that innocent man alone. I have suffered through a terrible nightmare about him last night. Meanwhile, the leading priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas to be released and for Jesus to be put to death. So the governor asked again, which of these two do you want me to release into you? The crowd shouted back, Barabbas. Pilate responded, then what should I do with Jesus, who is called Messiah? They shouted back, crucify him. Why? Pilate demanded. What crime has he committed? But the mob roared even louder, crucify him. Pilate saw that he wasn't getting anywhere and that a riot was developing, so he sent for a bowl of water, washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. The responsibility is yours. All the people yelled back, we will take responsibility for his death, we and our children. So Pilate released Barabbas to them. So Mark's account is exactly the same in Mark 15, 6 through 15a, with the exception of verse 15 is just slightly different, 15a. This is Mark chapter 15, verse 15a. So to pacify the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. Now let's look at Luke's account. Luke chapter 23, verses 16 through 25a. Luke 23, 16, starting verse 16. So I will have him flogged, and then I will release him. Then a crowd, a mighty crowd, arose with a roar from the crowd, and with one voice they shouted, kill him and release Barabbas to us. Barabbas was in prison for taking part in an insurrection in Jerusalem against the government and for murder. Pilate argued with them because he wanted to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, crucify him, crucify him. For the third time he demanded, why? What crime has he committed? I have found no reason to sentence him to death. So I will have him flogged, and then I will release him. But the mob shouted louder and louder, demanding that Jesus be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate sentenced Jesus to die as they demanded, and as they had requested, he released Barabbas. Let's look at John's account. John chapter 18, verses 39 and 40. John 18, verses 39 and 40. But you have a custom of asking me to release one prisoner each year at Passover. Would you like me to release this king of the Jews? But they shouted back, no, not this man. We want Barabbas. And Barabbas was a revolutionary. Next, we find where Pilate has Jesus brutally scourged. Matthew chapter 27, 26b. He ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip, then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. Mark's account, 15:15b, speaks the same language as Matthew. John's account in John 19:1, then Pilate had Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip. Jesus is beaten and mocked by soldiers in the praetorium. Matthew 27:27-30. Matthew 27:27-30. Some of the governor's soldiers took Jesus into their headquarters and called out the entire regiment. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head. And they placed a reed stick in his right hand as a scepter. Then they knelt before him in mockery and taunted, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him, grabbed the stick, and struck him on the head with it. Mark's account, Mark 15, 16 through 19. Mark 15, 16 through 19. The soldiers took Jesus into the courtyard of the governor's headquarters called the Praetorium and called out the entire regiment. They dressed him in a purple robe, and they wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head. Then they saluted him and taunted, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him on the head with a reed stick, spit on him, and dropped to their knees in mock worship. Luke is silent on this account, so let's go to John chapter 19, verses 2 and 3. The soldiers wove a crown of thorns, put it on his head. They put a purple robe on him. "Hail, King of the Jews!" they mocked as they slapped him across the face. And we will continue with John's account here. And this is where Jesus is presented to the chief priest and the Roman officers. Pilate's third and fourth not guilty. Pilate returns to confront Jesus in the praetorium. Pilate pleads to release Jesus. Pilate proclaims Jesus king at his judgment seat. John chapter 19, verses 4 through 15. Pilate went outside and said to the people, "I'm going to bring him out to you now, but understand clearly that I find him not guilty." Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns, the purple robe, and Pilate said, "Look, here is the man." When they saw him, the leading priest and temple guards began shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Take him yourselves and crucify him," Pilate said. "I find him not guilty." The Jewish leaders replied, "By our law, he ought to die because he called himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was more frightened than ever. He took Jesus back into the headquarters again and asked him, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave no answer. "Why don't you talk to me?" Pilate demanded. "Don't you realize that I have power to release you or to crucify you?" Then Jesus said, "You would have no power over me at all unless it were given to you from above. So the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin." Then Pilate tried to release him, but the Jewish leaders shouted, "If you release this man, you're no friend of Caesar. Anyone who declares himself a king is a rebel against Caesar." When he had said this, Pilate brought Jesus out to them again. Then Pilate sat down on the judgment seat on the platform that is called the stone pavement. In Hebrew, that's called Gabbatha. It was now about noon on the day of preparation for the Passover. And Pilate said to the people, "Look, here is your king." "Away with him," they yelled. "Away with him. Crucify him." "What? Crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the leading priest shouted back. "We have no king but Caesar," the leading priest shouted back. Now, Pilate relents under the political threats of the religious leaders. They finally give the order to crucify Jesus. Luke 23:25b. Luke chapter 23:25b. But he turned Jesus over to them to do as they wished. John 19:16a. Then Pilate turned Jesus over to them to be crucified. So after the soldiers had finished their sporting with Jesus, they grabbed Simeon from Caesarea to bear Jesus' cross. Matthew 27:31-32. When they were finally tired of mocking him, they took off the robe, put his own clothes on him again. Then they led him away to be crucified. Along the way, they came across a man named Simon, who was from Cyrene, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Mark's account in Mark 15:20-21. When they were finally tired of mocking him, they took off the purple robe, and put on his own clothes again. Then they led him away to be crucified. A passerby by the name of Simon, who was from the Cyrene, was coming in from the countryside just then, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus. Luke's account. Luke 23:26-31. Luke 23:26-31. As they led Jesus away, a man named Simon, who was from Cyrene, happened to be coming in from the countryside. The soldiers seized him and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd trailed behind, including many grief-stricken women. But Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children, for the days are coming when they will say, 'Fortunate indeed are the women who are childless, the wombs that have not borne a child, and breasts that have never nursed. People will beg the mountains, fall upon us, plead with the hills, bury us. For if these things are done when the tree is green, what will happen when it's dry?'" John's account, John 19:16b-17a. So they took Jesus away, carrying the cross by himself. Now Judas regrets his betrayal and casts the 30 pieces of silver unto the floor of the temple. Matthew 27:3-10. Matthew 27:3-10. When Judas, who had betrayed him, realized that Jesus had been condemned to die, he was filled with remorse. So he took 30 pieces of silver back to the leading priests and the elders. "I have sinned," he declared. "I have betrayed an innocent man." "What do we care?" they retorted. "That's your problem." Then Judas threw the silver coins down in the temple and went out and hanged himself. The leading priests picked up the coins. "It wouldn't be right to put this money into temple treasury," they said, "since it is payment for murder." After some discussion, they finally decided to buy the potter's field, and they made it into a cemetery for foreigners. That is why the field is still called the Field of Blood. This fulfilled the prophecy of Jeremiah that said, "They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price at which he was valued by the people of Israel, to purchase the potter's field as the Lord directed." And that is a direct quote from Zechariah 11:12-13. And then Jeremiah 32:6-9 speaks of the buying land. So now we find where Jesus is taken to the crucifixion site, Golgotha, where sour wine and myrrh was used for a painkiller. The first cup is offered but refused. Matthew 27:33-34. Matthew 27:33-34. And they went out to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. The soldiers gave Jesus wine mixed with bitter gall, but he, when he had tasted it, he refused to drink it. Mark's account, Mark 15:22-23. And they brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. They offered him wine drugged with myrrh, but he refused it. Luke is silent here. Let's go to John 19:17b. John 19:17b. He went to the place called Place of the Skull in Hebrew, Golgotha. Next account we find where Jesus and two criminals are crucified at Golgotha. The verdict is posted above Jesus' head. Matthew 27:35-38. Matthew 27:35-38. After they had nailed him to the cross, the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. Then they sat around and kept guard as he hung there. A sign was fastened above Jesus' head announcing the charge against him. It read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Mark 15:24-28. Then the soldiers nailed him to the cross. They divided his clothes and threw dice to decide who would get each piece. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. A sign announced the charge against him that read, "The King of the Jews." Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. Luke 23:32-34 and verse 38. Luke's account. Two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. When they came to the place of the skull, they nailed him to the cross, and the criminals were crucified. One was on his right, one on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. The crowd watched, and the leader scoffed. "He saved others," they said. "Let him save himself, as he is really God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers mocked him, too, by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, "If you are the King of Jews, save yourself." A sign was fastened above him with these words, "This is the King of the Jews." John 19:18-24. John 19:18-24. There they nailed him to the cross. Two others were crucified with him, one on either side, with Jesus between them. And Pilate posted a sign on the cross that read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." The place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, so that many people could read it. Then the leading priest objected, saying to Pilate, "Change it from the King of the Jews to, he said, I am King of the Jews." Pilate replied, "Nope, what I've written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they divided his clothes among them, the four of them. They also took his robe, but it was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said, "Rather than tearing it apart, let's throw dice for it." This fulfilled scripture that says, "They divided my garments among themselves, and they threw dice for my clothing." So that is what they did. So now we're going to find where the spectators mock Jesus, and robbers join in the soldiers, Roman soldiers mocking him, offering him vinegar to drink. This is the second cup offered to him. Matthew 27:39-44. The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Look at you now," they yelled at him. "You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and come down from that cross." The leading priest, the teachers of religious law, and the elders also mocked Jesus. "He saved others," they scoffed, "but he can't save himself. So he is the King of Israel, is he? Let him come down from the cross right now, and we will believe in him. He trusted God, so let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God." Even the revolutionaries who were crucified with him ridiculed him in the same way. Mark's account, 15, chapter 15, 29 through 32. The people passed by, shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Ha! Look at you now," they yelled at him. "You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, save yourself and come down from that cross." The leading priests and the teachers of the religious law also mocked Jesus. "He saved others," they scoffed, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down from the cross so we can see it and believe him." Even the men who were crucified with Jesus ridiculed him. Luke's account, Luke 23:35-37. Luke 23:35-37. Luke 23:35-37. The crowd watched and the leader scoffed. He saved others, they said. Let him save himself, if he is really God's Messiah, the Chosen One. The soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. John's account is silent in this particular area. Now we're going to look at where one of the robbers changes his confession after seeing Pilate's declaration and hearing the mockery of the crowd. Matthew's silent in this area. Mark is silent in this area. John is silent in this area. Luke speaks to it. Luke 23:39-43. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. So you're the Messiah, are you? Provide it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it. But the other criminal protested. Don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. Next, darkness covers the land while the Passover lambs are being sacrificed on the Temple Mount. Matthew 27:45. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Mark's account is the same wording as Matthew's. Luke 23:44-45. Luke 23:44-45. By this time it was about noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone. John, the beloved disciple, takes Jesus' mother to be as his own. John 19:25-27. Standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, Dear woman, here is your son. And he said to his disciples, Here is your mother. And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. Now we find that Jesus begins to quote Psalms 22 at about 3 p.m. Matthew 27:46-47. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus calls out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which means, My God, My God, why have you abandoned me? And some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. Mark's account in chapter 15:34-35 is the same wording we just spoke found in Matthew. Luke is silent in this area, so is John silent in this area. Jesus continues to quote Psalms 22. And the third cup is offered. The psalm's verbiage is like, My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Matthew 27:48-49. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so that he could drink. But the rest said, Wait. Let's see whether Elijah comes to save him. Mark 15:36 holds the same wording as Matthew's. Luke is silent in this area. John is silent in this area. And Jesus says, I thirst. John 19:28-29. John 19:28-29. Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. And to fulfill Scripture, he said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine was sitting there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put it on hyssop branch, and held it to his lips. It is finished. Matthew 27:50. Then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. Mark 15:37. Then Jesus uttered another loud cry and breathed his last. Luke 23:46. Luke 23:46. Then shouted Jesus, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. And with those words, he breathed his last. John chapter 19, verse 30. John, chapter 19, verse 30. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head, gave up his spirit. Next, we're going to look at where the graves of the first fruits are marked when the earth quakes and the temple veil is torn. Matthew, chapter 27, 55 through 52a, and then 54 through 56. Matthew 27, 51 through 52a, and then 54 through 56. 51. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. Verse 54 through 56. The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. They said, "This man truly was the Son of God." And many women who had come from Galilee with Jesus to care for him were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Mark's account, Mark 15, 38 through 41. Mark 15, 38 through 41. And the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the Roman officer who stood facing him saw how he had died, he exclaimed, "This man truly was the Son of God." Some women were there watching from a distance, including Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph and Salomon. They had been followers of Jesus and had cared for him while he was in Galilee. Many other women who had come with him to Jerusalem were there also. Let's look at Luke's account. Luke chapter 23, 45b, 47 through 49. Luke 23, 45b. And suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. 47 through 49. When the Roman officer overseeing the execution saw what had happened, he worshiped God and said, "Surely this man was innocent." And when all the crowd came to see the crucifixion, saw what had happened, they went home in deep sorrow. But Jesus' friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching. John is silent in this particular area. Now we're going to look at Jesus' side is pierced. John chapter 19, 31 through 37. It was the day of preparation, and the Jewish leaders didn't want the bodies hanging there the next day, which was the Sabbath, and a very special Sabbath because it was Passover week. So they asked Pilate to hasten their deaths by ordering that their legs be broken. Then their bodies could be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the two men crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. So they didn't break his legs. One of the soldiers, however, pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water flowed out. This report is from an eyewitness giving an accurate account. He speaks the truth so that you also may continue to believe. These things happen in fulfillment of scriptures that say, "Not one of his bones will be broken." And they will look on the one they pierced. Next, we're going to look at where the women watched the improper burial of Jesus by Joseph of Arimathea. And they actually leave before Nicodemus arrives with the proper burial spices. Matthew 27, 57 through 61. Matthew 27, 57 through 61. As evening approached, Joseph, a rich man from Arimathea, who had become a follower of Jesus, went to Pilate and asked for the body. Pilate issued an order to release it to him. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a long sheet of clean linen cloth. He placed it in his own new tomb, which had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a great stone across the entrance and left. Both Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting across from the tomb and watching. Mark's account, Mark chapter 15, 42 through 47. This all happened on Friday, the day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath. As evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea took a risk and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus' body. Joseph was an honored member of the high council, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. Pilate couldn't believe that Jesus was already dead, so he called for the Roman officer and asked if he had died yet. The officer confirmed that Jesus was dead, so Pilate told Joseph that he could have the body. Joseph brought a long sheet of linen cloth. Then he took Jesus' body down from the cross, wrapped it in the cloth, laid it in the tomb that had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone in front of the entrance. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where Jesus' body was laid. Luke 23:50-55. Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph. He was a member of the Jewish high council, but he had not agreed with the decision and the actions of the other religious leaders. He was from the town of Arimathea in Judea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. He went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Then he took the body down from the cross, wrapped it in a long sheet of linen cloth, and laid it in a new tomb that had been carved out of the rock. This was done late on Friday afternoon, the day of preparation, as the Sabbath was about to begin. As his body was taken away, the women from Galilee followed and saw the tomb where the body was placed. John 19:38. Afterward, Joseph of Arimathea, who had been a secret disciple of Jesus because he feared the Jewish leaders, asked Pilate for permission to take down Jesus' body. When Pilate gave permission, Joseph came and took the body away. Nicodemus and Joseph properly prepare Jesus' body for burial with spices. John 19:39-42. John 19:39-42. With him came Nicodemus and the man who had come to Jesus at night. He brought about 75 pounds of perfumed ointments made from myrrh and aloes. Following Jewish burial customs, they wrapped Jesus' body with the spices in long sheets of linen cloth. The place of the crucifixion was near a garden where there was a new tomb never been used before. And so, because it was the day of the preparation of the Jewish Passover, and since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. Next, the chief priests request the posting of a guard on the high Sabbath. Matthew 27:62-66. Matthew 27:62-66. The next day, on the Sabbath, the leading priest and the Pharisees went to Pilate, and they told him, "Sir, we remember what that deceiver once said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise from the dead. So we request that you seal the tomb until the third day. This will prevent the disciples from coming and stealing his body and then telling everybody that he was raised from the dead. If that happens, we'll be worse off than we were at first." Pilate replied, "Take guards and secure it the best you can." So they sealed the tomb and posted guards to protect it. There's no mention in Mark, Luke, or John concerning this event. Well, there you have it. We found where Christ was falsely accused by the religious leaders of that day. He was crucified, scourged, crucified, hung on the cross. He died upon the cross. His blood was shed. His body was taken down from the cross, wrapped, and prepared for burial. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. The tomb was sealed, and guards were posted, waiting for his words to come true. We're going to stop here, folks, leaving Christ in the tomb. And I want you to understand that I did not go into detail on many of the specifics for the simple reason that that's not what this lesson was about. What I wanted to show you was the events leading up to his crucifixion and his burial, letting the word speak, not me, but you saw the word. And I know some of you may say, "Well, why did he stop here or stop there?" Because I tried to give it to you in a chronological order, the way things were happening. You may have a question, why did I stop and not show where the bodies came out of the graves? Well, that hadn't happened yet. The graves were opened up, and then we stopped there because they don't actually come up out of the grave until Jesus' resurrection. So I've tried to give it to you in the chronological order, and I've given it to you with reference to harmonizing the Gospels. So I hope you've gleaned information here on how it all came about to be and what Christ did and what he suffered on that cross for me and you. Pastor Gene, until we do this again, God bless you and yours really good. Good night.